This is a message from Gateway Church. We trust that God will minister to you through this teaching. For more information, please visit our website.
Today, I really felt the Lord just wanted to bring hope and encouragement. Hope in particular. As I was praying and meditating, I just could not escape thinking about hope. And so I want to bare my heart a bit this morning, if that's okay. I want to share a testimony later on that will sort of help release the word that God is bringing to bring hope in different areas of our life. Now, in the world, if somebody says, "I hope that this is going to happen," or "I hope the Crows are going to win the grand final," or "I hope Port Power are going to win the grand final," or "I hope Hawthorn's going to win the grand final," whichever team that you barrack for, hope in the world is only a maybe. It's all it is. It's a possibility of something going to happen. And somehow I think that definition has crept into our minds when we think of hope that comes from God. But think of this. It says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace." May the God of hope, He is the initiator of true hope. And the actual definition of hope is to anticipate or to expect. I was woken up some years ago with a phrase, the certainty of hope, the certainty of biblical hope, certainty of hope that God puts into our hearts. It's not a maybe, it's a definite, it's something that will happen, and it's something in the future. You could probably put it this way, it's a certain joyful expectation of God fulfilling every word that He has spoken. So if we look historically back through the Bible, has any one of His promises failed? Nothing. So when it talks about the God of hope, when He speaks something, He knows that it's going to happen. There's no uncertainty whatsoever. And that is the same hope that He wants us to constantly have in our hearts. In 1 Peter it says, praise. There's that word again, praise. Today we're talking about praise. Everywhere you look, we're exhorted to praise. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for us who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last day. We are getting closer to that. I know you have to say historically we're the generation that's closest to that, because we are, but we know that certain things are happening in the earth that are being fulfilled, prophecies that have been spoken of about Israel that have happened in the 70 years that they've been in their land, and in particular when they first came back into the land. Can a nation be born in one day? And they were in one day. And it's going to be 70 years in May. Is that right, Colin? 14th of May this year. It will be 70 years exactly from the time that they became a nation again. There are many prophecies that have been fulfilled from that, or before that time and from that time. And we are getting closer to the return of Jesus. So all the more reason why he wants us to have a living hope. So that is a living anticipation and expectation of the Lord's return, an anticipation of every prophecy that he's given being fulfilled. One of those which different prophets have talked about is Damascus. There, I can't remember where the scripture is, but there's a scripture relating to Damascus where it's just going to be no more. It will be leveled. And you see there's a lot of fighting that's going on in Syria at the moment, in Damascus and around Damascus. So when that happens, when Damascus doesn't exist anymore, you know that's a fulfillment of prophecy that is getting us very close to the return of Jesus. And there are many other prophecies that have been expounded and been fulfilled in this time. So all the more reason why he wants us to have a living, joyful expectation of seeing the Lord's return, because it will happen, going to happen. It says in 2 Peter that the earth is going to be destroyed by fire. Actually, I'll read it. It says, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. And since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. So that word is going to be fulfilled. So we have a hope, a certainty, God's hope, that that word will be fulfilled. And what were we asked to do? We ought to live holy and godly lives. Couldn't help but think of that scripture in Hebrews, which says, while Jesus lived on the earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. We are the hands and the feet of Jesus. While we are on the earth, if we're to live holy and godly lives, we're to live lives that he typified. So our prayers are going to count. We offer up our prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who can fulfill his word on the earth. And that's what he wants, us to continually be praying as watchmen for his words to be fulfilled, to hasten, like it said there, to hasten the return of the Lord. So we can actually be involved in the speeding up of the return of Jesus through our prayers, through our cries and our petitions. So don't be afraid to really cry out to the Lord in this time. Know what his word says and petition him. Petition means taking his word and asking him to fulfill it. So he's given us that living hope, living expectation. And you can see that faith, hope, and love work together. You know, you read through the scriptures, you'll find they're hardly separable. They're somewhere close to one another there. And my interpretation is that hope is activated through faith and it's expressed with love. So as we know that there's a certainty about those words being fulfilled, and we have that hope, then it says the love of God lives richly in our hearts. So it says to love one another deeply and express the love of God to those around us, those who haven't had that opportunity for salvation. And so we express the hope that we have in us, the certainty of things being fulfilled by loving people, loving one another, and loving the lost. Literally, love them into the kingdom. Because we know his words are going to be fulfilled. Jesus said that this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in every nation, and then the end will come. That's one of the last signs. So we can pray that that word would be fulfilled here in Australia, and that we would actually be the ones that he uses to fulfill that word. And that's why we're crying out for more of the Holy Spirit. That's why I was asking, you know, for a desperation for the Holy Spirit to be activated in a greater way in our lives, so that we demonstrate the kingdom of heaven in the same way that Jesus demonstrated. And we are seeing glimpses of it. You get on YouTube, you can see many people that are walking in the power of the Holy Spirit and seeing miracles happen. So if you want to encourage yourself to build your faith to see more happening here, get onto YouTube and look up the miracles. Make sure you go to people that have a good standing, good accreditation. And you'll soon find out who they are. You'll open your heart to discernment. But they're the sort of things that will build our faith to see us actually do those things in greater measure. The God of hope can only be the God of certainty and expectation. There can't be any other definition. It has to happen. And he says to us in Jeremiah, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." There are scriptures to do with praise. Time doesn't permit me to go through a lot of these. Psalm 71 in particular says, "For you have been my hope, sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. From birth I've relied on you. You brought me forth from my mother's womb. I will ever praise you." Think of that song, "Your praise will ever be on my lips." Most of you know that song. "I have become a sign to many. You are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise, declaring your splendor all day long. As for me, I will always have hope. I will praise you more and more. As for me, I will always have an expectation. I will always have an anticipation of your words being fulfilled in my life and in the life of the church. Therefore, I will praise you more and more until I see those things happening." Praise is a real key. You think about it. If you can get to that place of just praising God all day long, troubles just become insignificant. All the issues of life just become insignificant. Because the greatest hope that we have is the hope of the resurrection. And that will not be taken away from us. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It reaches in through the curtain into the inner sanctuary where Jesus, who went before us, has entered on our behalf. So as we, by faith, enter into the presence of God, holding on to Jesus, that becomes like an anchor that is firm and secure. So again, it just affirms that hope is a definite hope. A secure hope, something we can put our money in the bank on. You know that it's going to happen. Now I understand why Paul says, "Hey, you're quiet. Why are you so quiet? Pondering." Abraham was the father of hope. I'll just read the scripture from Romans chapter 4, 17 to 20. It says, "As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God in whom he believed. The God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. Against all hope, Abraham in hope, this is God's hope, that's in certainty and expectation, believed and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. Fully persuaded. He believed in the God who gives life to the dead. And you know, in some of those scriptures, it talks about Isaac, his son, you know, how he was asked to sacrifice his son. He really believed that God would be able to raise him back from the dead. That was where, of course, we know that God then, his intention was that when his son came, he was going to raise him from the dead. I just want to give Ian and Dawn, you want to just stand up? What if I said to Ian and Dawn, you're going to have a child in your later years? Now, see, we all laugh, don't we? And what did Sarah do? She laughed. I mean, you just think, you're kidding me. Come on, it's way past having a child, you know. Sperm count's down. No eggs being ovulated. Come on, it's impossible. I mean, that's our reaction, isn't it? So, you know, sometimes we look at, you know, biblical situations. If you look at Abraham and we think, oh, well, you know, because it's in the Bible, it's something sort of pretty unique and special, which it is, but let's be real. Abraham and Sarah were the same as us. Well, Sarah, she laughed, but Abraham, he believed God. He believed God. What do you reckon, Ian? Having said that, would you have believed me? I mean, it just shows you that for someone at that age to actually believe God to do that, that takes enormous faith. That takes enormous hope that he would fulfill his word. And it says of Abraham, he was fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. God wants to lift our expectation of what he wants to do, what he can do. The disciples were the same, like, as us. When Jesus rose from the dead and the women went to the tomb and the angel said, he's gone, he's alive, when they went and told the apostles, they thought they were strange. They didn't believe them, that he'd risen from the dead, and yet Jesus had said that he would rise from the dead. We're the same. You know, they're just ordinary people filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, they became filled with the Holy Spirit. They were commissioned through Jesus to do miracles, signs, and wonders. Then, the day of Pentecost, they got filled with the Holy Spirit. But until that point, they didn't believe either. The guys on the road to Emmaus, they were downcast. You know, they'd heard about what the women had said, but they were downcast. So they obviously weren't in faith, believing that Jesus had risen from the dead, even though there was some witnesses saying he had risen from the dead. But Abraham had that faith. He had faith that the God who gives life to the dead would return his son. He believed that God would give him a son. So he's the father of faith. So no wonder the Bible talks about him being our father of faith. He went before us. Thank God for Abraham. I don't know if I would have, I don't know if any of us here would have had that sort of faith. So thank God he found a man who would have that sort of faith, that in hope, in expectation, believed that God would fulfill his word. And so we know with Jesus, that was the most impossible of situations. When he went to the cross, the disciples were just totally perplexed, totally distraught. The one who came to bring the kingdom of heaven, the one who did miracles, signs and wonders, was crucified. He was dead. And they didn't believe that he had risen from the dead until he appeared to them. And then their faith rose. And for 40 days, Jesus spoke to them about the kingdom of heaven. And then they waited, I guarantee you, in hope for that day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was poured out on them. I want to share a testimony that hopefully will build your faith to have hope in many areas of your life. If God is wanting to bring this word, I'm sure in all of our lives there are situations where he wants to our faith to rise to another level and to have a hope in different areas that perhaps we've regressed in or just diminished in, but to restore again a hope in the God who's able to raise the dead in our time. Most of you are aware that we had some devastating news in January. Dates are a bit of a blur to me. I think it was the 10th of January. But on the 12th of January, we got news that Heather's sister had suddenly died. She actually took her own life. And it was devastating. No warning. We knew that she had some depression, but we just thought she's got a medical background. She's a nurse. For the rest of it, we thought, we didn't think that she had sort of gone to those sort of depths of despair. And there's many reasons now that we've been able to understand more fully, but time just won't allow me to go into all those details, but we literally had 2 days to get our passports in order because they had lapsed and leave on the, we heard on the Thursday and we had to leave on Saturday to fly to New Zealand, which is where she's been living for the last 10, 15 years. And funeral was going to be on the Monday. So Dan and Michaela came along and Josh came along. When we told Heather's mum, who's in a nursing home up in Lobethal, she was just totally broken, distraught, as you would be, because Kathy was in her late 50s, and it was just so sudden. So we went and saw her that night. The next morning, I was driving up to Lobethal just to comfort her. It's actually a good ending. Even though I found myself, it's like the Holy Spirit just brought to mind, I don't know if you've heard of the testimony of Ian McCormack in New Zealand. You know, this goes about 25 years ago. You can look it up on YouTube. Ian McCormack, he got stung by these boxer jellyfish. He got stung by at least five or more of them. I think it was at Mauritius, island, where he was diving with some fellow divers there. And he wasn't a believer. But in the he had to get himself to hospital, and it was limited health or, I guess, medical attention on that island. I think it was a French colony. But he knew that he was in the process of dying, you know, because apparently it's lethal to have one sting. But he had multiple stings, you know, about half a dozen. And he just felt his life or his body numbing up. And, you know, this is over a process of probably an hour or a couple of hours of his journey to get to the hospital, because he'd been diving, had to get some sort of transport, which wasn't easy. But in the process of, like, in his mind, thinking, what on earth's going on? Just, you know, he was facing death. He knew he was facing death. But his mother was a Christian, and she knew that he had never really sort of accepted Jesus. But she always said to him, you know, if you are in trouble, deep, deep trouble, call out to the Lord, and he will save you. So, again, you can watch it on YouTube and just hear the discourse, you know, the conversation he was having with the Holy Spirit and the words that were coming to him. And that in that process, he gave his life to Jesus. He remembered what his mum had said. He went and tried all sorts of different religions, but he realized God was actually speaking to him in the process of dying, that God will go to any length. If he went to the length of sending his son to die for us, why would he not go to great lengths to rescue us? And every one of us have a testimony how God chased us there. And the short of it is, he committed his life to Jesus. He died. He actually went to a dark place first, which is a place of darkness. From that place, a shaft of light drew him out, took him to heaven. He had an encounter with Jesus, and then he had a choice of whether to stay or to come back. He had been out of his body for about an hour, and, you know, they were taking him to the morgue. When he actually came to, they were prodding his feet with needles, you know, just to see how dead he was. And he came to life again. But it was a place of desperation, you know, in his dying time. And it was like the Holy Spirit was just giving me faith that God is not limited by time. He knows the end from the beginning. He can step into history at any time, whether he go from the beginning to the end and step back again, or somewhere in between. And there are many scriptures that actually give a good argument that Elijah and Moses were actually transported from the past, from the mountain where they were encountering God, to the Mount of Transfiguration where Jesus was, and then back again. God can do anything like that. He can step into time at any time. And I found myself just crying out to God for Kathy's life. That's Heather's sister. I was crying out. I said, Lord, there's no limit in you. I'm praying now for you to do something before she died. She planned it so meticulously. And I found myself saying, you are the God of the impossible. Nothing is impossible to you. That you can step into her life as we pray for her afterward and do the same as you did with Ian McCormack. Because the Holy Spirit was the one who was revealing that. He was the one who brought that to mind. It wasn't me that did that. So I just cried out to him and just interceded for her that she would have the same opportunity to know the Lord. And when the funeral came, like we were there for Saturday and a bit of Sunday, the family, there's not an ounce of belief in them of Jesus. Any time that Heather and I witnessed to her sister and husband, we could only go so far. We could never go any further. So there was resistance all the way through. And, you know, our devastation as much as anything was pretty obvious she doesn't know the Lord, you know, and her destiny, as far as we knew, was hell. So that's why we prayed so earnestly for her. And their children actually asked Dan to sing a song at the funeral. And get this, the song they chose was Van Morrison, Have I Told You Lately That I Love You? Because it was one of Kathy's favourites. And if you read that, that really is a song to God. You know, I was listening to it this morning, but there were words in it. Come on, find your page. Where it says, ease my troubles, that's what you do. And it says, we should give thanks and pray to the one. And in the order of service, it actually had a place there for anyone to say something, because we knew that there were sister-in-laws that wanted to speak. Heather wanted to speak. Her other sister wanted to speak. I wanted to say a few words. And on the morning of the funeral, my heart was just pounding, because the Holy Spirit bringing a conviction to say something. And as I was sitting in the room where Dan was practicing the song, I was just sort of randomly going through scriptures. And when he was singing that bit, ease my troubles, that's what you do, and we should give thanks and pray, I looked down at my scriptures, and it's the book of James that says, is any one of you in trouble, he should pray. I'm looking at it as he's singing it. So we prayed for opportunity for God to break through in the funeral. So when Dan sang, that's like, there was not a mention of God right the way through the funeral. When it came to that place, or just before, Dan sang that song, it was like the presence of God just came into that place. There would have been 200 people there. And I remembered that on the photo board, there was one photo there of Kathy at her confirmation as a Lutheran girl in her teen, where she had given her life to the Lord. And I believed that what the Holy Spirit was showing was that the prayers had been heard, that she did have opportunity to repent, accept the Lord. If, you know, if that wasn't enough at the confirmation, you know, because we sometimes get a bit religious and say, yeah, they're not living the life, so obviously they're not believers. But who knows, you know? God is the one who remembers those things. And I stood up and I said, I just want to bring some hope here today. And I explained, I said, there's a picture out there of Kathy on the board there where she was confirmed as a Lutheran. I said, for those of you who don't who don't know what that is, I explained what it was, you know, that that's when you give your life to Jesus. And there's more, but... And I said, what she, her declaration when she was a teenager to put her trust in Jesus, I believe that God has heard that and that she is in heaven. And I know God put hope there because of the way things happened and with the song and all the rest of it. There's like he sealed it. He caused it to happen. He gave certainty and hope in that situation. And there are numerous people that are, were friends of them that are actually believers that came up and said, man, we are so glad you said that because we thought she was gone. You know, we didn't think there was any hope whatsoever for her as far as eternity is concerned. And as a result of that, her husband, he has opened up because he wants to see her again. So and there's a process that's going on at the moment. He's actually, he has actually had a priest, an Anglican priest, like Ian, come into the house and actually bless the house. He invited, like, at the recommendation of a friend, said, you should have, I'm sure they said, you should have somebody come in and cleanse and blah, blah, you know, like not just bless the house. But that was his understanding, that the house was being blessed. And they felt good that that should be done. And when it, when he did bless the house, they said they had such a peace because she suicided in the house. And they're now, each of them, are going to a counselor who was a pastor who's running a counseling house, whatever you call it. But so there's a process now going on. You know, there's a breakthrough. You know, the God of hope has put hope back into our lives and into their family's life. And we have an expectancy now. We have a hope that God is going to finish what he started, that he has saved her, and that something is happening in the family that will bring hope to them. It's never too late. And if that word is just that for every one of us, we continue to pray for our family members and our friends that God would break through and bring hope, that they would turn to the Lord, whether it be right in their dying days or whether it be in the life sort of leading up to that. You know, we, like I said, we all have been through that ourselves. You know, we've all went through a process. It took a long time for us to come to that place. Some of you, it might have been a lot quicker, but we know the process, but there is hope. There's God's hope, a certainty, an expectation that there are many situations, not just those, but I mean, that's the most devastating, isn't it? That if somebody goes to hell without knowing God, like it says in Ephesians, without hope, without God, or without God, without hope, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have now been brought near through the blood of Jesus. And we want every one of our family members to have that opportunity to know what Jesus has done for them and for them to come to that place. So I encourage you in that testimony that there is hope in whatever your situation is. There's hope. I mean, it's just stirred my heart in greater ways now to believe that he's able to break into many people's lives that don't know the Lord and have a willingness to open my mouth, you know, where he gives opportunity to. He is the God of hope. And if that's in the area of healing, there is a certainty, expectation and a certainty in the words that he's spoken, that Jesus took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Surely he bore our sins on the tree, that we being dead to sin might live to righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed. Knowing the promises of God, knowing the word of God more than ever, that we can have an expectation that he will fulfill those words, whatever that situation is. For those that Mark felt the Holy Spirit said, the legs and feet, to have that expectation that they'll be restored. Tom, that knee, fully, totally. I know you've come a long way. You're going to come a lot further. You're going to see a greater measure of healing there. And whatever it is that you're facing, whatever it is that we're all facing, and that we can look at the wisdom of God, look at the Word of God, see what His promises are, and then with faith and expectation, faith and hope, see those things come to pass.